Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of July 31st, 2022. This week's sermon is titled, Listen with Your Ears Wide Open, by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
So I forgot to get a plug for Coffee with Kerry a week from Wednesday, so I just shamelessly did that real quick there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I'd like for you to keep in your prayers Casey Salt, Casey and Teresa and their family. Casey lost both of his parents this last week in a car train accident. So please keep that entire family in your prayers. And I'd like to recognize, where did Glenn and Lorraine go? There's Lorraine. Glenn and Lorraine Ash celebrating 50 years together, wedded. Here's what I'm going to do as future goes on here. Anybody that's been married 50 years, we want to recognize them at New Hope. And 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, if you make it to 75 years married, we'll probably throw a party if you make it that far. But anyway, congratulations to Glenn and Lorraine. All right, so Acts chapter 8. Every human being has a story. And every one of our stories has times when we're on the mountains and sometimes we're in the valleys. Sometimes we're celebrating and sometimes our story has heartaches. One of the most practical and powerful ways that you and I can bless other people is by listening to their story. Unfortunately, most of us are so intent on our story being heard that we give little thought to hearing other people's story. The reality is today, if you want to improve your communication skills, you can take a speech class in school, you can watch a TED talk on the internet, we can join Toastmasters and learn how to improve in that area. But communication is not just about talking. It's also about listening. And listening is much more than just hearing. Surveys suggest that only 2% of all of us have received any kind of education on listening. In my research, someone said we listen at a rate of 125 to 150 words per minute, but we think at a rate of 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. Translated, many of us are thinking while we're listening, and we're formulating what we're going to say when we should be carefully, intentionally listening. According to research done at Wright State University, most people don't think we need to improve our listening skills. Well, in fact, we're just using about 25% of our capabilities in that area. Now, in order to see how good of a listeners that we have here at New Hope Christian Church, I've got a quiz for you. Five questions. I'm gonna say each question one time. Do not talk to your neighbor. Don't ask questions of your neighbor. Hey, did he say this or that? You got a pen, a paper? Get it out now. And here they are, five questions. Write down your answer as we go along. Number one, don't say anything to anybody beside you. All ages can participate. Number one, how many of each species of animals did Moses take aboard the ark? Just write that down real quick. Number two, if some months have 31 days and some months have 30 days, how many months have 28 days? Number three, does England have a 4th of July? Number four, if there are 12 one-cent stamps in a dozen of stamps, how many two-cent stamps would be in a dozen? Come on, your laughter is giving away some things here. Number five, if you were a baby bull and you'd been away from home for a long time, and you came home and needed love and attention, would you go first to your mama bull or papa bull? All right, here we go. How many of each species of animals did Moses take aboard the ark?
Zero.
It was Noah that went on the ark. I won't ask who got it wrong, who got it. Some months have 31 days, some months have 30 days. How many months have 28 days? All 12, okay. Does England have a 4th of July? Yes, they just don't celebrate it like we do, right? All right, if there are 12 one-cent stamps and a dozen stamps, how many two-cent stamps are in a dozen? A dozen, 12, that's right. And if you were a baby bull, would you go to Mama Bull or Papa Bull? Papa Bull. There's no such thing as a Mama Bull, right? Okay. How many got all five right? Anybody get all five right? Okay. Way to go, Rick. You awesome dude. Hey, I need a volunteer. Randy, you're right close. This is what happens when you sit near the front. Okay, one last question. Are you paying attention? All right, Randy. You are the pilot of an airplane flying from New York to Chicago. Are you with me? Your co-pilot is 5 years younger than the pilot. The co-pilot's spouse is 3 years younger than the pilot's spouse. The interior of the plane is blue and the seats are red. There are 254 passengers on board. How old is the pilot? Your answer is, how old are you? You're the pilot, Randy. Cheryl, would you tell him what I preach on this morning when you get home? Here's the reality, and I'm guilty. We can all improve our listening skills, all of us. Jesus Christ was and is the master listener. And if we're going to have the impact on other people for Jesus that Jesus had on people, we need to imitate his listening skills. So when we get to Acts chapter 8, the church has become comfortable in Jerusalem. It started on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and in the days and in the weeks and the months that followed, several thousands of Jewish people have committed themselves to following Jesus Christ as their Messiah and their Lord. And then we get to Acts chapter 8. A persecution breaks out against the Christians living in Jerusalem, and they fan out across various parts of the world. One of them was a guy named Philip. Philip is eager to share his love of Jesus Christ with whomever God brings him in contact, wherever God sends him. So, Acts chapter 8, and we're not going to read all of the verses here. So hopefully you can kind of skim the others as we go along. But let's start with verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. Now the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over, heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. So hold your finger there because we're going to be alluding to all of it. But the first thing I want to look at here is that we need to listen to the Lord for divine appointments. We see this in verses 26 through 29. Now, if you're in Acts chapter 8, going back up there to verses 4 through 8, and you note that the truths Philip was sharing concerning the Messiah and the miracles that Philip is performing in Jesus' name resulted in him speaking to huge crowds, large numbers of people. We're listening to what Philip was saying. They're watching his miracles, and they're coming by the thousands to hear him speak. He was experiencing a successful ministry to a city somewhere in the province of Samaria. And it's in the midst of this great success, verse 26 tells us that an angel of the Lord led Philip to a desert road where there is no crowd. As a matter of fact, there's one person. Now, some Christians might think that was a little bit beneath their dignity to go on such an assignment as that. Others would be insulted by such an appointment. But Philip didn't have an ego that needed to be stroked, and neither should we. Philip had a calling that needed to be fulfilled, and so should we. Philip was a servant of the Lord, and so are we. Consequently, Philip was obedient. He did what the Lord told him and where the Lord told him to do it, and so should we. What I'm saying is this Ethiopian treasure was a long way from home. He had traveled to Jerusalem to worship God. This government official was very likely a Gentile convert to Judaism, as the Jews had a presence in Ethiopia for several centuries. While in Jerusalem, worshiping God, this Ethiopian had also heard about Jesus. And he's trying to reconcile how it is that Jesus fits in with the Jewish God. So as he's riding home in his chariot, Philip just happens, right, to be standing alongside of the road, and as only God could arrange it, the treasurer is reading from Isaiah 53, a prophecy concerning the Messiah at the precise moment when he gets near Philip. Accident, divine appointment. It's a divine appointment. That's the way God works in our lives. Now, friends, it doesn't make any sense to take Billy Graham away from preaching to thousands of people, enjoying a great ministry doing so, and then sending him to a desert road to teach one person. That just doesn't make sense, does it? Humanly speaking, why would we do that? But God isn't limited to doing things the way that we understand. The Lord says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are beyond anything that you can imagine." Because Philip obeys the Lord, accepts the Lord's assignment, this one man's conversion to Christianity brought the gospel into the influential structures and government of another country that is hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, because God always knows what he's doing, whether we get it or not. So when we trust in the Lord, when we depend upon the Lord, when we wait upon the Lord, God is able to make appointments for us that are beyond our understanding. God loves to do what only God can do through people like ourselves when we listen to him and when we trust in him. Inspired by God, the author of Proverbs writes, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Now, we have been talking for several weeks now about the importance of prayer. Prayer sets up everything that we do before the Lord. We talked about praying for our neighbors, praying for other people, that God would work within their hearts and in their minds, preparing the soil, getting them ready for us to have a spiritual conversation with them. After praying for a long time, the elders have come to the decision that we need to tweak some things in our schedule. And we're going to roll those out a month from now on August 28th. So I'm just giving you a heads up what that looks like. The worship services will be at 9 and 10:30. I'm giving you 4 weeks to adjust to that. If you want to come at 8:30, that's great. We'll have some fellowship between 8:30 and 9, but just letting you know that. And there'll be kids programming during the first hour. There'll be opportunities for adults to do some adult classes. I'm going to be talking about the importance of relationships here in a little bit, but just hold on to that over the next few weeks. The book of Genesis tells us that when God spoke, all of creation came into existence. So when God speaks, we should listen, shouldn't we? How does God speak to us today? He speaks to us today the same way he has in the past. Sometimes he's speaking directly to us through his word. And his word tells us what to do. And if we think that we're going to make a decision that conflicts with his word, we're making the wrong decision. Sometimes God speaks to us through the advice of godly people who are grounded in biblical truth. And sometimes God speaks to us through this still, small, quiet voice. Have you ever had this prompting inside to just go say hi to a stranger? Or something prompted you to help an individual, maybe right there on the spot, to give them some money, or maybe to send a card to somebody as an encouragement. Or maybe God was just prompting you to pray for that individual right there and then. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I haven't listened to that in years gone by. And I realize today God is the one who is speaking and telling me and nudging me to do these things. And we got to ask ourselves, are we going to be like Philip and honor God's leading? Or do we just ignore those things like, oh man, I must have indigestion or something? God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. And when we listen, it's amazing the appointments and the people he lines us up with. Now, what's also interesting here is that because Philip accepted this assignment, verse 40 tells us that after Philip was faithful and going from preaching to thousands and now talking to one individual, God then called him to preach in many other towns. I'm telling you, when we see God at work in our lives, life is an exciting adventure. As we see the plans and the purposes and the places that God sends us to. Verses 30 and 31. Secondly, we need to listen to people and ask the right questions. How many times have we been introduced to somebody and we forgot their name within 2 seconds? Yeah, I bet all of us would say that. Why? Why do we do that? Because we're not really listening. How many times when we're talking to somebody are we trying to redeem the time by looking at our phone, texting our phone, not having eye contact with that person when we're supposed to be listening to them? How many times when we're listening to someone are we actually formulating in our mind what we're going to say when they finally give us the opportunity? Or how many times do we think we know what they're going to say, so we interrupt them and finish, tell them what they need to say, right? But we do that. We become impatient. Somebody has said, and I quote, "The opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak." Because even if we're not speaking, but we're waiting to speak, we're not paying attention. We're not really listening. Dallas Willard once said, and I quote, "The first act of love is always the giving of attention." Philip makes no assumptions. Philip hears the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah 53, and Philip knows that passage is a prophecy in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. Philip also knows that ultimately it points to Jesus Christ. But he doesn't automatically assume he knows what the Ethiopian needs to hear. Philip doesn't interrupt the treasurer. Philip asks the Ethiopian a straightforward question. "Do you understand what you're reading? Does it make sense to you?" And just like that, the guy invites him into his chariot and asks Philip to explain the prophecy to him. Here's a common sense statement that bites if we're guilty. It comes from Proverbs. If you got your outline there, Proverbs 18, 2 and 3. This is from the Common English Version. It says this: fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. It's stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen. The only way to truly care for someone is to truly be interested in knowing more about them than we are them knowing more about us. Others are going to know that we genuinely care about them when we ask caring questions. In my experience, the only people capable of listening to others rather than insisting on others listening to us are those who have buried their old selfish nature in the waters of baptism and received a new Christ-like nature, a nature that now desires to imitate the unselfishness of Jesus Christ. In his book entitled Caring Enough to Be Heard, David Augsburger said, and I quote, "Hearing and understanding someone may be the kindest and most loving gift you give to them. Being heard is so close to being loved that for most people, the two seem like the same thing." A Bible character who could have used some more listening, loving friends was Job. Now, when you look at the end of Job and God's rapid-fire rhetorical questions, it appears to me it's clear that some of Job's reasoning was flawed. But having said that, even though Job's friends seemed to listen to him, they really weren't. They weren't listening to what Job was saying. Every time Job is speaking, these bozos are processing in their mind how they're going to rebuke him. You ever heard the phrase, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Whoever came up with that, I think, must have been referring to Job's friends. The proverb writer reminds us, there is more hope for a fool than there is for someone who speaks without listening. Many of the times, we're not listening to understand, we're listening to respond. Which is why James tells us, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You've no doubt heard the expression, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Have you heard that one? Have you heard this expression, a closed mouth gathers no foot? That's me. A closed mouth gathers no foot. Did you know the words listen and silent both contain the same letters? Use that in Scrabble, huh? Listen and silent. In order to listen, we need to be silent. Coincidence? Or did God do that? So it helps to ask the right questions. One of the criticisms of bigger churches is that not everybody knows everybody. I wonder if we're going to know everybody in heaven. I mean, maybe. But at least we have eternity to introduce ourselves, right? Whether we've been a longtime member at New Hope or just started attending, we can help this family become family by familiarizing ourselves with each other. I think each week we can make this a closer-knit family, if every week we just say, hey, I'm going to find one person, one couple that I can get to know this week. So, I just met Brian and Lisa. Would you come on up at this time? Come on. Don't back out on me now, you guys. Brian and Lisa. Brian is the son of Glenn and Lorraine. Okay? Yeah. You know what? My wife said, hey, go get another stool. You don't want to sit above them. Okay? So I went in and got another stool, and look what I got. All right. here, I got two mics. All right. Brian and Lisa, so you guys are dating, is that right?
Correct.
All right, okay. How long have you been dating? Oh, put him on the spot, yeah. She got the easy
couple
one.
Months.
Correct. Okay, how long?
A couple months.
Okay, a couple months. And after knowing his father, Glenn, for 2 months, you're still willing to date the guy? Okay.
His mom's a keeper.
She is a keeper. I definitely will agree with you on that. Okay, so are you both from this area, or?
I'm from the area.
Use the mic here, Brian. All right, you're from this area. You grew up in this area. How about you, Lisa?
I'm in Washington.
You are in Washington, or you?
Well, currently I'm in Iowa, but I live in Washington.
You're from Washington. Okay. Anybody else here from Washington? Well, it's a long ways away from home. Okay. So, what brings you to New Hope today? Just the fact that Mom and Dad are celebrating their 50th, or?
That, and we were here a couple weeks ago and decided to come back.
Awesome. I'm thinking to myself, church, looking, shopping, right? Huh? Let me ask you a question real quick. I'll just interrupt you. How many of you remember what their names were? What would you guess? 15, 10%? You know why? We're not listening. I'm rebuking myself when I talked to you guys earlier, it was like, over in my mind, Brian and Lisa, Brian and Lisa, Brian and Lisa. Why do we do that? Because otherwise we forget. You just proved it. let me preach and I'll be right back to you. When I was in a church of 100 people, I'd been going there for a year, every weekend, and they had a new preacher, and after a year, you know what the preacher's calling me? Bud. Bud. Didn't know my name. Bud. Having said that, a few years ago, how many of you remember Johnny Orr, coach of the Iowa State Cyclones? I was at the gas station at the Harvester, and Johnny Orr comes out of the store. I just instinctively, hey, Johnny, how's it going? You know what he calls me? Hey, bud. But listen, a bud from Johnny Orr is like we're best friends, right? Anyway, names are important. I'm just saying that 85% of you forgot Brian and Lisa's name. And a name is one of the most important things that people, I mean, when we can use people's names. So I'm just saying that as we are introduced to people, say that over and over. All right? Okay. All right, so you guys have been dating 2 months. You're from Washington. Do you like Iowa, the Midwest?
Yeah.
What?
It's really hot, and it's flat.
Washington isn't hot?
Well, this week it has been, actually. It's hotter there right now than here, but no, Washington is not hot.
So what you're saying is if you guys are going to continue to date, Brian is going to have to leave.
She's got to get out of town before next week.
Okay, so what kinds of things would you guys be looking for in a church? I mean, you know, as you think about, hey, where would I where would I want to go to church? What kinds of things might you be looking for?
Transparency.
Okay.
A good worship team.
Okay. Good. Awesome. Brian?
A pastor I can listen to and relate to and doesn't beat it into you but talks to you.
Okay. What kind of things do you guys like to do? What kind of hobbies do you have?
I'm a band geek.
A what?
A band geek.
A band geek?
Yep.
You play in bands or? Mm-hmm. You do? Yeah. Like what instruments?
I'm a trumpet player.
Have we got a place for you, Lisa? Ding, 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 ding. All right, Brian?
I play cornhole.
Cornhole?
Like bags.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you pretty good at it?
I can hold my own.
Okay. All right. I like your attitude, your competitive attitude. You don't happen to have, like racing at all, do you?
Yep, I sure do.
Anybody else here like racing? Okay. All right. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to find areas of similarities, right? If I know somebody from Washington, I can say, hey, I know somebody from Washington. They say that it's always raining. Is that true?
Most of the time.
Yeah. So why would anybody want to live in Washington, Lisa?
We have salmon, and we have a backdrop, like mountains.
We have salmon, too. It's called a store. They tell us it's fresh.
They lie.
They lie. Okay. All right. All right. So transparency, good music. a question from, I'm going to let you guys ask me a question. One question from out here. Somebody like to ask Brian or Lisa. What? How did you meet?
Through racing.
Through what?
Through racing.
Racing, okay. All right. So if there's somebody here who likes racing, there's a good way to connect with you guys. Right? Okay. Question you want to ask me?
When you're not up here doing this, what do you enjoy doing?
Well, I enjoy golfing. Which, ask me how many times I've golfed this year.
How many times do you golf this
year? That's a good question, Brian. Three. I got one more question for you guys. Do you have a favorite sports team that you cheer for?
Seahawks,
okay.
The Hawkeyes.
Hawkeyes. Do you know of any sports teams that might have a color like red?
Not any good ones.
Huh? Not any good ones. Well, we've just concluded this interview. I want to pray for you guys. I appreciate you coming up. Lord, I thank you for Brian and Lisa and the stories that they have. And God, we're just kind of starting into them. But I thank you for their willingness to come up here and be with us and share their lives with us today. And I look forward to being able to get to know them better, Lord, in the future. We love you, and we thank you for the way that you intersect our stories, no matter how far away we may be from each other. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Not any good teams wear red, huh? Okay. Have you guys heard of this church down the street? No, just kidding. All right. Here's the point. People matter to God. Every person matters to God. And because every person matters to God, every person should matter to us. People must know. People must know that God loves them And the Bible says that you and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are God's representatives. And you know why God put us here? So that we could have the privilege of arranging a meeting between people who need to know God and the God who wants to spend eternity with them. That's why we're here. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that however extroverted or introverted we may see ourselves, that you would help us to understand that there are times when you're prompting us to get out of our comfort zone, and you want to use us, God, whether it's meeting somebody for the first time at the gas station or, meeting a coworker, having a conversation. I pray, God, that we would be that person who introduces those who need to know you with you. Help us to be more concerned with listening to the story that others have, asking questions, than we are them hearing our story. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So, if you've got a prayer concern, somebody specifically that you're praying for, as soon as we finish this last song, come on over to the prayer wall. There'll be somebody over there that will pray with you. If you'd like to know what your next step is spiritually, Dave will be over there at the patio. And maybe for some, that's taking that step of baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch ultimately saw a body of water, and after Philip said, why not here? Why not now? And if that's where you're at, then Dave can talk to you about that. But let's stand. I thought I was going to have to sing there.